Good morning, everybody. This is Rosanna's Chat. Today we have John Garrido. John is the founder and CEO of Life Science Technologies, a company whose mission is to help doctors turn their brilliant ideas into exciting and often life-saving new products. We met again playing tennis, and I was very impressed with John's accomplishment. He is very knowledgeable. His expertise is in radio frequency, and today we are going to be speaking about the impact of radio frequency treatments, the different treatments and equipment out there to treat your skin. So we will welcome John Garrido. So let's welcome John Garrido. John, are you there listening to us?
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone.
Well, thank you for being with us this morning. I appreciate it. I am very impressed with your background, and I would like to start by asking you, how did you get into all of this? Tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, the use of radio frequency goes back as far as I was involved back to 1973 when I did work at UCLA in the dental department, where they use radio frequency and still use it today, as a matter of fact, for cutting gingival tissue around teeth. So that's where I was introduced to radio frequency for the first time, and its application was in dentistry. So that's where it began for me, but it actually began in the medical field back as far as 1940.
Wow, it's come a long way for sure. And how did you get involved in all of this?
Well, I had my father-in-law was a dentist and an engineer, and he developed a number of different dental products and had a small dental company. When I graduated from college, I started to work in the company while I was in school, and then when I went to law school, I went to Brooklyn Law, and I was working there as well. He passed away while I was in law school, and I took a leave of absence to run the company. It was a very, very small company, and that's how I became involved with it.
Okay, pretty amazing how life turns right and brings us to the right path. So anyway, tell us about radio frequency. How does it impact the skin? What did you learn in all these years of working with it?
Well, originally, radio frequency energy was used, in the early days, it was called electrosurgery. Mm-hmm. It was called electrocoagulation. And its main use was to stop bleeding. And later on, it was discovered that by putting a wire on the end of the handpiece, you could also cut the tissue. You could sever it, and it would stop bleeding at the same time. So the use of radio frequency energy was basically used as a surgical tool for cutting and coagulating tissue. So from there, and again, this goes back to the 1940s, where the ENT surgeons would use the radio frequency in a bipolar mode to insert. They would have two needles, and they would insert it into the turbinate, which is in the nose. Enlarged turbinates caused a lot of problems for patients, so they were able to take the two wires and place them in, insert them into the turbinate for a couple of seconds, and it would volumetrically reduce the size of the turbinate from inside. So that was the first use of radio frequency, and again, it was in the bipolar method, bipolar terminal, and that was used for reducing tissue. So they realized that the heat could be placed inside the tissue and it could reduce in size. And that was the earliest form of what we see today with skin tightening.
Got it. So then it was extended to the skin by constricting the tissue, right, tightening it up.
Well, what happened was they started to see that, and again, it went from there to about 1989 when orthopedic surgeons started to find that they could use this for the shoulder and the knee for submucosally reducing the tissue, the cartilage tissue, and correct some of the orthopedic problems. And then Thermage, a few years after that, developed the Thermage unit for the skin tightening with the large diameter electrode, which would be placed over the skin on the face or the forehead area to basically heat the collagen and to denaturize it, which would contract the skin and through the collagen denaturization. So that's how it evolved to Thermage, which was, I guess it was 2002 when they first got their FDA approval. And their FDA approval in 2002 was not for skin tightening, it was for electrocoagulation. But the FDA at that time...
Why would people electrocoagulate their skin and not tightening? What was the difference back
then? Well, because electrocoagulation was well known to the FDA. So what happened was, rather than to try to get an FDA approval on skin tightening, which was a new concept, and it would be very difficult for the FDA to approve that without numerous studies, Thermage was able to get an electrocoagulation approval to use it for skin tightening. And then I think they finally got their skin tightening approval 2008 or 2009. So it was a few years after that. But there
and
were some problems
there...
with the... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, there
okay,
were...
I understand that...
I
understand there are different types of types of radio frequency, from monopolar, bipolar, tripolar. Any advantages? Any differences? Can you talk about that?
Sure. Today, it's widely known that through studies that the most intense use of radio frequency energy for skin tightening is in the monopolar. Hello.
Yes. Yes. I'm listening.
Hello.
Yes. Oh, I'm listening.
Is in the monopolar. Type where, for instance, you have a ground plate which the patient sits on, and then you have the handpiece with the electrode that is moved over the skin. So the intensity of monopolar is well known to be the best method for skin tightening. Then there are variations, and the bipolar eliminates the ground plate that the patient sits on and basically puts the electrode next to each other in terms of this. So there's two poles next to each other separated by an insulation medium. So that is a less intense energy of radio frequency. And then, of course, tripolar is three poles. So there are many, many different variations of radio frequency energy, but well known and well understood is the monopolar method. Now, Thermage and Pelave are the most intense monopolar radio frequency energy sources for skin tightening. That goes back to many studies that have been done comparing these devices.
So if you were a person trying to decide what treatment to do on their skin and you have these options, what would you recommend?
Well, you know, look, if you're interested in a method or a technique or a procedure that's non-invasive, then obviously my feeling is monopolar radio frequency energy, either in Thermage or in Pelave. I happen to have developed the Pelave system, and I believe that it's a safer system than Thermage. But the fact is that those devices are really quite powerful and really do have a good result from the studies that have been done with thousands of patients. Control studies. There are some newer technologies that are coming out, and I think they're worth taking a look at and understanding. One is the microneedling, which again is radio frequency, just introduced in a different way.
Okay.
So those are important considerations. I also think it's important to look into who's doing the procedure and how much training they have had. In many of the different clinics and offices, physicians delegate to estheticians, even staff other than estheticians. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think knowing and understanding whether the people that are doing these treatments are well-trained, I think that's very important.
That's very key. That's such a good point. I did want to go back and ask you, how about fractional radio frequency? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, again, the fractional, all different variations of radio frequency, and as I said right in the beginning, today, the devices that have been really proven to be the best methods today and the best technology today are the basic monopolar radio frequency energy, and the different variations are just coming out now and don't really have the studies to back them up. So they're coming and they may. I'm not saying that they don't have that they're not good methods and good techniques. What I'm saying is that they really don't have the support yet that I'd like to see. If I was having work done.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense for sure. You want to make sure you're using something that's been tested before. So going to the different equipment.
Yeah, and has a good track record. And of course, number one is to make sure anything that's being used is FDA approved. I mean, that's easily any person who's considering having some anti-aging procedures done. I think you need to know the equipment that's going to be used, and you need to do a little bit of research. It's not difficult to do today with the computer. It's easy to do Google searches on different devices and get to know and get to understand, as a layperson, what's being used on you. And I think sometimes we just figure that the doctor is going to do the best thing, and I don't think that's a good policy. I think we need to do a little research into what's being used.
And that's such a smart comment. I have to tell you that's key, and that's something I recommend to all my clients. So if you were a person out there, and we only have like a few minutes left, but I figured I'd ask you, how do you pick equipment? Any thoughts on picking equipment besides FDA approval?
Yeah, as a doctor, I think the most important thing is everything in a doctor's office should be FDA approved, number one. 100% easily done. I mean, doctors, when we go to medical meetings, we see hundreds and hundreds of doctors. They come to the booth. They get presentations on the devices. Many of the medical conventions that doctors go to won't even allow equipment that's not FDA approved on the convention floor.
Good.
So that's even a requirement before you can even show the units to a doctor. But there are companies that will bring units in that aren't FDA approved, and they'll say, well, you know, we're trying to get the FDA approval. But I think that's the most important thing. And that's really, from the insurance standpoint, if anything ever happened where a patient was injured by the use of this unit that they're using, doctors want to make sure, because that would be the first question that a lawyer would ask doctor, is the equipment you used on? Yeah, good.
I hate to interrupt, but we have to finish our show.
Sure, no problem.
hold on.
Sure.
John, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna go back and add a little bit because we ran out of time.
Okay.
But it's easy because I have an editor who edits and cuts the pieces and puts it all together, so don't worry. Let me call you right back. Let me see if I can do this right now.
Rosanna, what you may want to do is if any of the listeners have any questions, maybe send them to you, and you can send them on to me, and I can answer individual questions from some of your listeners.
Perfect. Let me go back and see if I can finish it happily without just cutting it like that.
Okay.
And I'll call you right back. And it was great, okay, by the way. You were great. Thank you so much. Okay, hold on.